Hello, dear friends. Welcome again to another edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. This is Pastor Robert coming to you once again to bring you a message from God's eternal word that has the power to be life-changing for you today. So please stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. It's going to go quick. We're going to get into some things today that I believe are going to be so involving, engaging, interesting, that you will find that your time invested for a little while in your spiritual life is going to be so beneficial to you. So don't even think about turning the dial. You stay right here on WMAF, this radio station that carries such great programming all day long, and we're glad to be part of their format for your devotional life, along with other ministries that are on this station. And we join hands and link up with every ministry that is Christ-centered, who has the desire to see lives touched and to see lives changed through the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is our privilege to come to you today and bring you a message of hope and courage from God's Word. Every message from God's Word, even the messages that concern seemingly negative things, have great positive results. And we want you to be involved in the blessings that God offers through His Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for those of you who are becoming consistent listeners to this broadcast. We appreciate you being back with us today, and we are honored that you will allow us to be part of your devotional life. If you are a first-time listener, we're glad that you have tuned in. We pray that as we go to the Scripture, that God will literally speak to your heart through His Word today, and that you will discover something that is particular to your situation, whatever you are experiencing in life, wherever you are in life, that whatever challenges you may be facing, that you will find strength and courage, insight and understanding, and that through the process of trusting God through trials and tests and challenges, that you will come to know Him better. There used to be an old pop song, and it'll date me, but it says to know Him is to love Him, and I do. Well, the more I get to know about the Lord, the more I come into an intimate knowledge of Him, the more I love Him for who He is and for what He has done in the gift of His Son and this great Savior, Jesus Christ. So please stay tuned today. If you would like to learn more about this ministry, what a statement of our faith and some testimony and a list of sermons that you can order if you so choose to, you can just type in to your search engine, THCOG, and that stands for the Holy Church of God. We're affiliate of the Independent Assemblies of God, based in San Diego, California, and have been in good standing with them since 1974. And we're grateful to come to you today, whether by computer streaming or over WMAF, right here every Tuesday at 2 p.m. So if you're enjoying this broadcast, tell someone, email someone if you're listening by computer, and it will broaden our listening base. It will allow us to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I have something I'm going to confess today that is a particular problem that I wrestle with all the time, and that is the need for patience. I know what the Scripture says about waiting on God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. I'm telling you, sometimes I get weary, and sometimes I feel faint-hearted, and I have to go back to the Scripture, and I have to renew my own personal commitment to patiently wait upon the Lord, because God is faithful. It is never God's faithfulness that causes failure in the Christian life or in our faith. It is the fact that many times that there is a time between the time that we trust Him for something, the time that the answer comes. Timing is important to God. God moves in His own timing, and His timing is just right. Someone said He may not be there when you want Him, but He's always right on time. And so we need to understand the part that patience plays in our faith walk with Him. It is vitally important that we learn how to wait upon the Lord. I saw a sign out in front of a church one day, and dealing with this issue of patience, you know, they change those signs. Some are hokey and some are pretty good, but this one stuck with me. It said, "Lord, give me patience and hurry." Hallelujah. It seems that we all have a problem with patience, and I want to talk to you about holding on faith, how to wait without wavering until the answer comes. So if you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 32 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. It says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." Listen now, verse 35, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. We are of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Praise the Lord. Amen. Give me patience and hurry is something that I could say over and over and over again. I feel a desperate need sometimes to see or hear some evidence of my prayers being answered, or that they're pending and ready to be answered. But I am absolutely convinced the longer that I live that God's delay is not His denial. He does hear when we pray. That's the foundation for all patience, is knowing that He hears us. The Scripture said if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petition that we have desired of Him. Praise the Lord. So I want you to know today, even when the enemy of your soul tells you that God isn't listening because there seems to be no response from heaven, from Him, I want you to know He heard your prayer. And based on the fact, if you're a Christian, that He heard your prayer and you're praying in His will, the best you know how, I want you to know, praise God, that the answer is going to come. The key is that we need the confidence in that fact to wait upon the Lord for His timing. Let me read you something that Spurgeon said. He said, "Bible promises are checks drawn on heaven's bank that we endorse with faith and present to God with payment." I like that. Bible promises are checks drawn on heaven's bank that we present with faith to God for payment. Now, that's true, but sometimes the checks are post-dated. It's upsetting to find that God doesn't operate according to our time schedule. Assuming God will respond immediately to our prayers, we rise from our knees, expecting to find the answer waiting for us, but more often than not, there's a waiting period between the asking and the receiving. And this presents a problem, especially to this postmodern world, where everything is going at such a fast pace. We've got fast food, we've got instant coffee, we've got instant credit. We have a low tolerance for delay. Someone has said tomorrow has become a dirty word. The interim between asking and receiving is a precarious time for believers. Our faith droops. Our feelings sell out to the enemy, and doubt unpacks its suitcase for an extended visit. Boy, you know, I am convinced that many times we are so close to a breakthrough in our life, to God just absolutely manifesting His love and power in an answer that will be for our good and His glory. You see, God wants His name to be glorified in whatever answers he brings. So sometimes he does wait until it can't be interpreted that it was just an accident, a happenstance. If it was just something that came randomly into your life and you interpreted it, or I interpreted it as God answering prayer. Sometimes he waits until it looks like that he's not even going to answer, and that there's nothing that can change the situation, and he steps in at that crucial moment. He works a mighty work, and everyone who sees or hears of it has to acknowledge that was God who did that. That didn't just happen randomly. The yin and the yang is the Eastern philosophy of life, particularly in China and Japan, that have this idea that there's good and bad, and it'll balance out somehow, these events. But God says, I don't want my good to be interpreted as something that just randomly happens. I want my good to come into a life that is trusting me in such a way that those who see it, those who hear it, and the person who experiences it will acknowledge and know God did this. It was God and God alone that supernaturally intervened, that stepped in and did this work. So consequently, there is a timing when God chooses to answer prayer. There is a way that he chooses to move that will bring good to his children and glory to his name. That's what I want in my answers to prayer. I want, and I say this with the, I want the blessing. I need the blessing. I'm desperate for an answer in so many occasions in my life. But I do want, when that answer comes, God to be glorified in the answer. I want everyone who sees him answer prayer in my life to know God did this. This is not what man did. This is not what circumstances dictated. God stepped into that situation. God gets the glory for the answer, and we get the good. Praise God. And it doesn't get any better than that for Christians who want to glorify God with their life and experience his blessings. Praise the Lord. You may be close, and I may be close, we may be close to a great breakthrough in the Lord, and we can become discouraged and weary if we're not very careful. Patience helps us to hold on in faith. Patience helps us to keep on keeping on. And that's what Paul was talking about. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, the Bible says that tribulation worketh patience. Isn't that incredible? The very trials and tests that we may be called upon to face and to go through develop this wonderful virtue, this foundation for faith to stay sustained in our life. This patience comes through actually going through things with the Lord and learning that he's faithful, and learning how to wait, and learning how to overcome our emotions many times that would tell us, I don't see God in any of this. I don't know why he won't answer. I don't know what his plan is. And yet holding on and believing that he hears us. He has a plan. He has a timing. And praise God, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. When his time comes, God is going to make his move in your life and mine. And the key to all of this great victory is to wait upon him. Hallelujah. Let me tell you a true story that may put in perspective how vital it is that we hold on to him right now. In the middle 1800s, Henry Comstock staked his claim and dug until he found gold. He was getting, trickles of gold, a little here and there, but he knew there had to be more. He was convinced there was a mother lode there somewhere, and he kept on digging. Weeks turned into months, and months to years, and he finally gave up in 1859 when he was offered $11,000 for his claim. The new owner that bought it for $11,000 dug just a few feet deeper and struck the mother lode. The Comstock mine, from that time on, produced $340 million in gold. I tell you, if there's anybody that wished he had waited just a little longer, it would be Henry Comstock. It was called the Comstock Mine, but it changed hands. And this Comstock Mine, who had had the very name of the person who sold it for $11,000, paid off in $340 million in gold. Patience pays dividends. That's what Paul is saying. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, after you've trusted Him, after you've made Him your source, after you have prayed according to His will as much as you know His will to be, praise God, then it's time to plant your feet. It's time to wait upon the Lord. And I can't in any way tell you how long you're supposed to wait. The only thing I can tell you is Paul said, don't cast away your confidence while you're waiting. However long it takes, you may be praying for children that are lost. Wait upon the Lord. You may be praying for a marriage that looks like that spouse will never change. Wait upon the Lord. We had a lady attended our church years ago, and she, I was praying for her husband, and she would come in so discouraged. It would break my heart, because she was going through some real tough family issues, and he was hard-hearted. I asked about speaking with him, and I was told by her and other family members he doesn't want anything to do with preachers. He doesn't want anything to do with anyone in the clergy or ministry. So it closed that door of even being able to offer any kind of counsel. All we could do is pray and wait. Pray and wait. And boy, after you pray, when you're asked to wait, it's one of the toughest parts of our faith is waiting. And months passed and years passed, and it got tougher at home. There were occasions when she was prepared to pack up and leave, but we kept praying and we kept waiting, and we stood in our faith for him. And a day came when a call came that he wants to talk to you. Now, it took a long time, and it took a circumstance. It took a really devastating illness. But I remember going to the hospital and saw a man whose heart had softened, who did not turn away a minister, who actually asked for me to come and pray with him on many occasions after that. And I had the privilege of praying for him for salvation. I had the privilege of praying with him for healing and help in his time of need. And what a wonderful, wonderful answer to prayer when this man, who had no use for preachers, began to embrace not only Jesus Christ, but the family of God. And to have him come to church and be part of our congregation for a season was a joy, to see a heart that was so hardened, a man that had seemed there was no turning him, but to see God in his time and in his wisdom and in his way work in that life until he turned it toward home. What a victory, praise God. What a joyous thing to see. The dividends of patiently waiting on the Lord. It's one of the toughest things you'll ever do. And that's why Paul was encouraging them to hold on. How to wait without wavering becomes a crucial issue in our faith. So often we stop digging too soon and miss the mother lode. So those blessings God has for us that are pending but coming surely, we don't receive. That's why Paul wrote in Galatians 6 and verse 9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." The King James says, "Be not weary in well doing, for you will reap the reward if you faint not." Praise the Lord. I like what C.S. Lewis said. He said, "Faith is the art of holding on to things, your reasons once accepted, in spite of your changing moods. When everything we once easily believed suddenly becomes improbable and illogical, it's this hanging on faith that holds us on course and keeps us anchored to the unfailing promises of God." See, that's what the 10th chapter of Hebrews deals with, is this hanging on faith. It shows us how to wait for the promise. The Christians to whom the author wrote were facing persecution so severe their faith was threatened with collapse. Some were even talking of defecting to shore up the walls of their collapsing faith and to enable them to emerge from this trial victorious. The author reminds them of their previous trials and how they overcame them. He speaks of a great reward in verse 35 and of receiving what was promised in verse 36. The entire passage dovetails into the last phrase in verse 36. That is the end toward everything moves, that you may receive what was promised. He's telling them that they must do this if they are to receive what was promised. You need faith, you need patience after you've done the will of God, that you might receive what God has promised. The Bible said to be followers of them through whom faith and patience enable them to receive what was promised. Follow those who not only believed God, but held on until the promise was received. Follow those who not only demonstrate great faith, but great perseverance and great faith, patience. Praise God. It's so easy to pray. When we've been to a revival meeting, we've heard a great message on the promises of God, and our faith is at a great level. Faith is a tremendous force, and it gives us an optimism and a hope that reaches out into the invisible world and says, I'm trusting the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm trusting in the name of Jesus, and I'm standing on the Word of God. But as time passes and heaven seems to be distant and closed to us sometimes, we wonder and our faith begins to waver. God wants us to understand that He hears prayer when it's prayed in faith according to His will, and that we can stand in the full assurance that the God who heard us is going to respond to us. In the great faith chapter in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible said that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And they that come to God must believe that He is, and listen to this, that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. God responds to faith. God responds when we humbly and honestly put our trust in Him. But He responds in His time frame. I don't know how many times I've been to the point of seemingly exhaustion in terms of what my emotional emotions can take, and I just feel spent. And I say, Lord, how can I hang on? How can I hold on? And it's then that I would go back to the Word of God, and I would see those again, who through faith and patience inherited promises, and I begin to follow their pattern. I've even found people in Scripture who said, how long, O Lord? David was one such person who would wonder on occasion, Lord, how long will you not avenge me? How long will the answer be withheld until it comes? And yet he would come back, center his faith on God's faithfulness until the answer came. And when the answer came, in God's timing, good came to God's people, and glory was given to God. There must be confidence, number one, based on God's past faithfulness. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which hath great reward, verse 35 says. Confidence is sometimes translated boldness. It's one of the great words of the Bible. It's a chief characteristic of believers. It means conspicuous courage in the face of adversity. Confidence is Job declaring, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. It is Paul and Silas singing praises in prison. It's the apostle standing on board a sinking ship and saying, I believe God. Hallelujah. These Hebrew Christians were exhorted to remember the former days in verse 32, days of persecution following their conversion to Christ. Though they were stripped of their possessions, they found God's grace sufficient. Their greatest possession, their wealth in Christ, could never be plundered. Possessing nothing, they possessed everything. Loss of all worldly goods failed to diminish their assets. Bankrupt but rich, they were wealthy paupers. And now it was happening again. So Paul says, remember the former days. The past with its record of God's faithfulness is our greatest defense against present discouragement. There's a book in the Bible called the Book of Lamentations. And Israel, it's at the end of the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah has preached and proclaimed to God's word to Israel at that time. And they rejected wholesale the word that was brought to them. And now corrective judgments, their enemies, were prevailing over them, were in the land. And Paul looked at all this, and he felt kind of hopeless down inside. He felt that sinking feeling that he preached and no one listened. They had the opportunity to have revival, and they didn't turn to God. And in the book of Lamentations, it's the book of the blues, to lament. And he's heartbroken. There's a heaviness over the land. There's a heaviness over Jeremiah's heart. And he's looking at the situations, and it seems so hopeless, and he seems so helpless. And he says, and he seems like a failure as a prophet. And he's sitting there in this gloomy atmosphere. And the Bible said in Lamentations 3, when I consider the conditions, the wormwood, the gall, my heart is humbled within me. There's a good humility. There's a wonderful humility that causes us to be exalted by the Lord and makes us meek before Him. But this word humbled is the word for crushed. Literally to crush your heart, to be so heartbroken and heart sick that the heart is put under pressure to the point of crushing it. He said, my heart is feeling like it's being crushed within me when I see this situation. And he said, but this I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. Praise God. This is that remembrance we're talking about. This I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is faithful to be merciful, he said to Israel. God is faithful. And even though it looks like the situation is hopeless, there is a merciful God who is faithful to his covenant, faithful to his own character and nature of mercy. There's a God who is still listening to our prayer. There's a God who somehow, some way, is going to bring good out of this perceived evil. There is a God that is going to restore this nation one day. There is a God who is in grace and mercy, is going to bring us back out of captivity and cause us to be the people of the covenant that He intended us to be. And that God is at work even when it looks like the enemy is prevailing. God is faithful. Hallelujah. That's the foundation for patience, is God's faithfulness. You know, faith in your faith, when your faith begins to waver, can fail you. Faith in God's faithfulness, even though your faith begins to waver, will never, ever fail you. It will stabilize your wavering faith, and it will cause you to be able to stand and wait until the answer comes. And friend, the answer is going to come to you. May seem like it isn't. May seem like heaven is brass today. May seem like God hasn't heard you, isn't listening to you. But if you're a child of God, the scripture said His eyes are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. And this is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. If we know He hears us, we know we have the petition that we've desired of Him. I've got a loved one that needs to know Jesus today. Do you have loved ones that need to know the Lord? I've been waiting a long time. Say, Brother Venable, how long are you going to wait before you give up, you give in? I'm going to wait as long as it takes to see the answer come, because I know it's His will to seek and to save the lost. Now, I'm never going to give up, never going to give in, never going to concede that the enemy is stronger than my God. I'm going to trust Him, going to see that great victory. If you don't know Jesus today as your Savior, why don't you open your heart right now and invite Him to come into your life, to have this faithful, merciful God as your Savior, as the one who takes you through life and takes you as His own into eternity. We love you today. We want all of God's children to receive everything He's provided And until next week, this is Pastor Robert saying, come back and be with us, and let's talk about Jesus.